I'll stand at this time and bow your hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace to give praise to your holy name. We thank you, Father, for this night to be much observed, this Sabbath day that you've given us, the first Sabbath in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Father, we thank you for bringing us to another new year and an opportunity to give glory to your holy name. Father, as we seek your face, we ask that you would continually watch over your servants, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your implanted word, and that you would touch our hearts. Cause us to see that great sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah and what he did for each and every one of us. He died, Father, for our sins, not for his own. It was for our sins. So help us, Father, as we seek to be faithful servants of yours, as we try our best to overcome Satan the devil and sin and this world, Father, as we try to draw near to you and gain the spirit that's in your word, as we do our best, Father, to not tread underfoot the blood of Yahshua, but let that blood cleanse us from our sins. We thank you for all that you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. Continue to bless those that are on the prayer list. And we ask, Father, that you would bless this ministry. We know that we have many groups meeting tonight. The ones in Kenya already met. And we ask that you would bless them and be with this ministry, that it might grow and prosper, and that Yahshua might return soon. In his holy name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may all be seated. Freedom from sin. That's the title of this message. We're going to start in Exodus chapter 9. If you'll take your scriptures, we'll go over to Exodus chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. Exodus 9, verse 13, it says, "And Yahweh said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, in this manner says Yahweh, the Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues upon your heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth." Now, all our little people know about Moses. They watch the video, because that's what we allow them to watch on the Sabbath, you know. But they know about Moses, right? And when Moses went to Pharaoh, he said, what, little people? Let my people go. See? Now, he did that, like it said in 14, the second part of the verse, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. See, there were many mighty ones in Egypt. Egypt is synonymous for sin. A lot of times when you read the term Egypt in the scriptures, it's talking about sins, okay? Back in this book of Exodus. Now, we're going to continue in verse 15. In verse 15 it says, "For now I have put forth my hand and have struck you and your people with pestilence, and you have been cut off from the earth. But in very deed for this cause have I made you to stand to show you my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." This was the reason that Yahweh did this to Egypt. Egypt was the greatest power in the world, like the United States is today. Egypt was the world power at that time. They ruled the known world, just like the United States is the number one world power in the world right now. Yahweh brought Egypt to its knees because he wanted, it says right here, that to show you my power and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. So the name of Yahweh is to be known throughout the whole earth. Verse 17, do you still exalt yourself against my people that you will not let them go? Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain very grievous hail, such as has not been in Egypt since the day it was founded even until now. And we know what happened because that was one of the plagues. Okay? Drop down to verse 27. Same passage. It says, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron. This is after the hail. Now, verse 20, okay? We're going to go back to verse 20. His hail came down. He that feared the word of Yahweh among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of Yahweh left his servants and cattle in the field. And what do you think happened? They were destroyed. But those of Pharaoh's servants, he had servants that feared Yahweh. And they listened and took their servants and their cattle in so that they would not be destroyed by the hail. And that's very important because I want you to understand that this wasn't just for Israel. Just like it's not just for Israel now, this word of Yahweh is going out throughout the earth. It's for everyone to fear Yahweh and to know his name and to give him his honor due to him. He's the king of the universe, okay? And once you understand that, you can understand what Yahshua the Messiah did for each and every one of us. And we'll get to that in a minute. Drop down to verse 27. It says, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. Yahweh is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Pray to Yahweh, for there has been enough of these mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands to Yahweh. The thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that you may know that the earth is Yahweh. Now, how many of us today know that the earth is Yahweh? See, a lot of people don't have a clue. They truly don't fear the Mighty One of Israel. Yahweh is the Mighty One of Israel. Okay? Now today, we hear this. I always say it every Sabbath. We are commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Okay? You'll hear Hagee, a lot of ministers on TV, praying for the peace of Jerusalem because it's commanded in the Word. You understand? Okay? Because this is Yahweh's people. But we are Yahweh's people if we choose Yahshua as our Lamb. And this is what you have to understand. We need to have this freedom from sin, okay? We're going to get into this a little deeper. But what I want you to understand is this. Verse 30, this is what Moses said to Pharaoh. But as far as you and your servants, I know that you will still not fear Yahweh Elohim. He knew that Pharaoh was lying, not telling the truth. And most people, they make a commitment, but their commitments are in word only. They're not in deed. They don't follow up their actions with action by keeping the covenant. Now, if you know something is good for you, are you going to do it? Okay? We were all raised, I don't care whether you were raised Christian, you know, Catholics are Christian too, but what I'm saying is you know the Ten Commandments. Am I correct? Were you not raised with the Ten Commandments? What's the fourth commandment? To keep the Sabbath and to keep it holy. Today is the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not Sunday. I have a young man here. Sabado, what does it mean? Sabado. Saturday. Okay. Sabado is Saturday. The Hebrews, the Jews, have never lost sight of keeping the Sabbath. So it's commanded by Yahweh for us to keep the Sabbath. Okay? But I want you to understand that these are things that we have to be convicted of in our heart. Because if we keep the covenant, and that's the covenant that we entered into to keep Yahweh's commandment, we will receive a blessing if we keep the commandment. Here you go. But we see here that Pharaoh told a lie to Moses, because he told him that me and my servants, you know, we're gonna do it. We're gonna follow through. But he was lying. Because as soon as the hail stopped, so did Pharaoh. He didn't go through with it. Turn over to Exodus chapter 12. This is where we get the night to be much observed from. Exodus chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 21. It says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, draw out and take you lambs according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for Yahweh will pass through to destroy the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yahweh will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come unto your houses to destroy you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to your sons forever. How long? Forever. How long is forever? Alani? 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 A lot, okay. It's the word olam. It's time out of mind. It's continuous. Okay, so that means we should still be doing it, right? Keeping the Passover, which is what we did last night. Off the screen. Now, it's I have to change some things on the settings. The settings, it just goes to sleep very quickly. Okay. All right. Verse 25. And it shall come to pass when you have come to the land which Yahweh will give you, according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of Yahweh's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he destroyed the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head in worship, because they were in a reverent mood, because they understood that Yahweh is truly a living El. He's the one that can raise up or tear down. When you think of the problems in your life, okay, and each one of us has problems, are they self-created or were you born into that situation? Now, the Israelites were born into their situation. They didn't ask to be slaves in Egypt. They went down as a family to Egypt because Joseph had food there. And he was like the, right under Pharaoh, he was the leader of Egypt. And Joseph took his family and fed them, and they multiplied, and they had the best land over in Goshen, and they grew. They grew. So think about these things as we go through this. Think about your life. Think about where you are and your relationship with Yahweh. Came back. I got it. Verse 28. And the children of Israel went and did so, as Yahweh had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass at midnight that Yahweh killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. So Pharaoh brought this on himself because he lied and said that he would let the people go, and he didn't do it. So when the death angel came, he killed Pharaoh's son as well as all of the houses of the other Egyptians because they did not have the blood on the lintel because they didn't listen to Yahweh. And that's the thing. We have to listen to Yahweh so that we would receive the blessing from on high. It says, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up, go forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve Yahweh, as you have said. Take both your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people to send them out of the land in a hurry, for they said, we are all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And they plundered so that they let them have whatever they asked. And they plundered the Egyptians without war. They plundered the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, besides children. And a mixed multitude also went up with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt. Now that mixed multitude, they said, the whole group was over 2 million people. Okay? You had 600,000 men that would be like, you know, the leaders or able to be warriors in the army, whatever, from the ages 20 to 50, that range. 600,000. And then the mixed multitude, those Egyptians that feared Yahweh enough to take their servants and their cattle in when that hail was coming down because they feared Yahweh. And it said, and they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not delay, neither had they prepared for themselves any food. They hadn't prepared anything. Now, the time that the children of Israel dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the very day that it came to pass, that all the host of Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed to Yahweh for bringing them out of from the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yahweh to be much observed of all the children of Israel throughout their generations. So this is the reason that we celebrate this night, because Israel came out of Egypt in haste. freedom from sin, brethren. It is a night to be much observed to Yahweh for bringing us out from the land of Egypt. This is the night to Yahweh to be much observed to all the children of Israel throughout their generations. Israel was still yet sinners. They were sinners when they partook of this Passover covenant. Nothing special. They had to just listen. They had to put the blood on the lintel. That's all they did. They listened, whereas the Pharaoh and his servants did not. Yet, like I said, they entered into the covenant with Yahweh. They had been offered freedom from sin or from Egypt. I told you, sin, Egypt, synonymous. The death angel passed over their homes. So they rejoiced in their deliverance. What deliverance has Almighty Yahweh delivered you from? By the shed blood of our Passover lamb, Yahshua, we all have been delivered if we have accepted his sacrifice. That's the key. We have to accept that sacrifice. Those of you that are under the age of 21, age of accountability, you still have a little grace because you're covered under your parents. Those who are 20 and over, you need to start seriously thinking about your salvation, thinking about baptism, thinking about entering into this covenant that we're talking about. That's what the body and blood is about. So that if the grave becomes your house for some reason, you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. You'll be able to be resurrected to life. See? That's the purpose of the Passover memorial. We do it. The Yitzkor service for Yahshua is once in a year. It's not something you do the first Sunday every month or the first Sabbath every month or weekly. You take the body and blood once every year. It's a Yitzkor service. And I'll get into that more tomorrow in the message because we're going to be talking about Yahshua's body. If you haven't accepted Yahshua's sacrifice, you are yet dead in your sin. You have to think about that. Because something can happen tomorrow, and you're not covered. You don't have the protection of that blood, sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah. Almighty Yahweh has offered us a free gift. You didn't have to do anything to earn this. This is grace. It's been given to you freely. Yahshua died. He shed his blood for everyone in the world, every one of our sins. All we have to do is accept his sacrifice. That's all you have to do. Too often, people take these things for granted. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Verse 18. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed toward us." Yahshua suffered a lot greater than any suffering that we're going to go through. Okay? Not anything that we go through is going to be anything like what Yahshua went through. Have any of you seen that movie, The Temptation, that Mel Gibson did? It was a very, very gory movie. But it was very moving, and it showed a suffering Savior. Okay? So what we have to understand is what he suffered, what he went through was greater, and the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed toward us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of Elohim. And the children of Yahweh are going to soon be revealed, every one of us. For the creation was subject to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. For the creation was subject to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it, that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty, the freedom of the glory of the children of Elohim. We have been offered freedom, brethren. All we have to do is accept that free gift, that sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1, it says, For freedom the Messiah set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. And that's what sin is. Sin is a yoke of bondage. Yahshua cleansed us of all sin. How do you go back to it? We know the scriptures teach that a righteous man falls 7 times, but rises yet again. So he knows our weakness. He knows that we're going to have some problems. But guess what? If we have the Savior, if we have Yahshua, we are cleansed of that sin. As long as it's not premeditated. You understand? Now, I have a question for you. We know that David sinned with Bathsheba. Okay? My question, was that premeditated? They says yes. I say no. And the reason I say no is yes, he looked on this woman who was bathing on the roof of her house, and he lusted after this someone else's wife. He coveted someone else's wife. He sinned there instead of turning away. He would have been okay. But he coveted someone else's wife, sent for her, brought her to him. Okay? Had relations with her. Sin number 2 or 3 in the chain of events. Hear me out. Okay? Then, after conceiving a child with this woman, he then called for her husband to be put on the front lines and killed by another army. And a lot of people say, oh, that's definitely premeditated. But see, what I'm trying to get at is this. When you sin, you are blind. You are blinded. David could not see what he was doing because he was totally wrapped up in this sin. Okay? So what happened was when Nathan was sent to David, Nathan came to David and gave him a little story about this man had this one ewe lamb. And this rich man has all these lambs, but instead of killing any of his ewe lambs, what he did is he took that poor man's lamb and killed it for his guest. And David said, that man should die. And Nathan said, you are the man. David's eyes began, they were open. He recognized his sin. It had to be brought to his attention. And this is what I'm saying. He was the king of Israel. He knew this. He had to write the law. So he knew it. He knew the judgment. But just like the Pharisees and the scribes who knew every tittle and every yod, every letter and every declaration of the law, they still were blind, and that's what Yahshua was trying to get them to see. They couldn't see it. They knew it, but they couldn't see it. And too often that's what happens with people. They get caught up. They know the law. Oh, yes, we know the Bible. Okay? But they're not showing love for their neighbor. They're coming up with excuses not to help somebody when they have the wherewithal to do so. And that's what Yahshua's concerned about. He wants us to have compassion one for another. Okay? That yoke of bondage, which is sin, he wants us to get rid of. As the sin is brought to your attention, you have to then get rid of it. You understand? If you feel convicted, then you need to do something about it. That's what repentance is for. You get rid of it. Not one of us are perfect. That's why we have Yahshua. He was the only perfect human being. And people say, oh no, he was a almighty. He was from heaven. That's why he could do it. He emptied himself and became just like us, a man. Okay? He had all the same temptations. He just did not yield to them. Continuing, verse 2, it says in Galatians 5, behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, the Messiah will profit you nothing. Yes, I testify again to every man that receives circumcision that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now, I have written next to that oral law because that's what they were trying to push, okay? If you receive circumcision, you're denying Yahshua, is what he's saying. You are severed from the Messiah. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For we through the Spirit by faith wait for hope of righteousness. For in the Messiah Yahshua neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. And that's the key, brother. Loving your neighbor and your enemy. Too often I hear, oh, I don't like that person. But this guy's okay. He's all right over here. This neighbor we love, but this neighbor we hate. Yahshua tells us, and Yahweh tells us in his word, that if we have a problem with our neighbor who we can see, then we don't know Yahweh who we can't see. So think about it. We have to bring ourselves up to that level. And this is what this the process is. See? We have freedom from sin through the sacrifice of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. For we, through the Spirit by faith, wait for a hope of righteousness, for in the Messiah, Yahshua, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion came not from him that calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It only takes a little leaven to leaven or sin to cause you to become corrupt. I have confidence toward you in Yahweh that you will not otherwise be not otherwise minded. But he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then has the stumbling block of the torture stake been done away? I would that they that unsettled you would even go beyond circumcision. So what was happening is that these people were saying, you have to be circumcised to be a part of the body of the Messiah, which is not true. Because the way you come to Yahshua is the way you need to stay. You don't have to change as far as your physical circumcision. And there are people who come and they say, well, you know what? I'm a Gentile, but I was never circumcised, so they go and become circumcised. Circumcision was something, it was a covenant that was given in the past before the new covenant. Okay? If you accept the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, you do not have to physically be circumcised. People do it for health reasons, but you don't have to be. We still circumcise our babies, our boy children, at 8 days old. Okay? But not for religious reasons. What I'm talking about is a man. Say a man that came in the door, he's uncircumcised, he wants to be a part of our worship. Does he have to be circumcised? No. See? Not to serve Yahweh. Freedom from sin. Our faith in Yahshua gives us freedom from sin, brethren. All we have to do is accept that shed blood. Do you know what that means? To accept the shed blood of Yahshua the Messiah. That means you put someone above yourself. See? You're going to follow in his footsteps. You're going to learn some compassion, love for your neighbor, love for your enemy. Think about it. I'm sure you can write a list in your head of all the people that you hate. Okay? But we're not going to deal with this because the scriptures teach us to love our enemies. In verse 13 it says, "For you, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." Yahweh has shown us, given us freedom from sin, brethren. It's up to us to make that change in our life so that we are not walking in sin. He's given us freedom. 1 Peter chapter 2. All right, we're going to start in verse 15. "For so is the will of Yahweh, that by well-doing you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, and not causing your freedom for a cloak of maliciousness, but as bond servants of Yahweh." And that's who we're servants of, Yahweh. "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, honor the king. Servants, be in subjection to your masters with all fear, not only the good and the gentle, but also the froward. For this is acceptable if for conscience toward Yahweh a man endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you sin you are buffeted? You shall take it patiently. But if you, when you do well and suffer, you shall take it patiently. This is acceptable with Yahweh. For to this were you called, because the Messiah also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps." That's the example. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Our closing passage is going to be in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. We've been offered freedom, brethren. Verse 1, it says, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? For he grew up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground, that he has no form, no comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, struck of Elohim, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We'll deal with the rest of this tomorrow. But Yahshua bore our sins, brethren. He's the one that's given us the freedom that we can overcome this world. He's given us the freedom to partake of the kingdom to come. All we have to do is be his servant, be patient, accept that sacrifice. And as we accept the sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah, we receive the blessings from on high. Because there's nothing we can do, brethren. We can't earn our salvation. We can't earn it. It's something that's freely given. But we have to accept Yahshua's great sacrifice. Let's all at this time humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Would you all please rise for closing prayer? Father Yahweh, we come before you at this time thanking and praising your name. We ask, Father, that your will would be done in our lives and that you would cause us to use the freedom that you've given us for your honor and your glory. Help us, Father, that we would do that which is right in your sight, that we would overcome this world and Satan the devil by walking in the footsteps of Yahshua. We know, Father, that he came and gave his life, and he gave his life willingly and had the victory over sin and death and the grave. So help us, Father, to walk in his footsteps so that we would overcome sin, death, and the grave as well, so that we would be a part of this kingdom to come soon upon this earth. Help us, Father, to be the best servants we can be. Help us to rejoice tonight because of the death of our sacrifice, our Lamb of Yahweh, who has cleansed the sin of this world and our sins along with it, Father. We ask for forgiveness if we overstepped our bounds and commit a sin and error, Father. We ask that you would forgive us in the name of Yahshua the Messiah, because we know that he died for each and every one of us. Let us not tread underfoot his blood, but Father, help us to grow in your grace and knowledge and to accept that grace that you've given us, that free gift Let us not question, Father, your generosity, but help us, Father, to be faithful in all things. Help us to do your will and to do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us again, Father, for our shortcomings. And we thank you for your Son and for sending him to die for our sins. And it's in Yahshua's holy name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For our closing song, if you would take your songbook, we're going to sing number 25, Praise Awaits You in Zion. Number 25.
Praise the way to Zion, oh yeah. Praise the way.